Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles, the officially unofficial podcast for Crystal Palace fans or fans of the FA Cup winners, Charity Shield winners that don't live in England. It's been a while. I haven't done it for a while. I fucked it up. We move. Joining me.
That's right. I
Joining
played
me
the
to.
intro twice as well. It's fine. We're on fire. It's good.
Right, moving on. Brilliant that we haven't done this in about 6 years. We're back to normal. Normal business has resumed. We're not regular. We don't know what we're doing. It's all gone Pete Tong. Joining me today in the Shire, Bakary Sacko. How are you, Bakary?
Good, thank you very much. Very good. Thank you.
Excellent. Ned, newly married Ned Rock. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Nice to be discussing things that aren't wedding related, and football related. But yes, thank you very much. That did happen, and we can now just start talking about Palace again.
Indeed. Well, congratulations on the nuptials and soon to be married, Marky Werner. How are you, man?
Mate, I hate to break it to you, Ned. We're definitely circling back to your wedding and chatting of throughout this pod.
Oh, you
And
want some tips? You want tips?
yeah, that's right. I got plenty of contacts for you, Mark. I can help you out with all that sort of stuff. So yeah, you're welcome, mate. Happy to help.
Mate, if you crack the 9 month mark, I've got no advice for you. I don't know anything beyond that, but up to that point, I can give you some tips of what not to do, or who not to marry. Yeah, I'm well, Rob, if you asked. I'm not sure. I'm focused on Ned a bit there. It's good to see the wedding band too, mate. I saw you sort of stroking your chin earlier. It's like, yeah, I see it, mate. You're married. I get it. Whatever. I never fancied you, but it's fine. You're taken. And yeah, possibly some pending nuptials for myself down the track. Dale, thanks for
You're
making
welcome, mate.
mention of that. My good woman does listen to this podcast, so that comment's going to help me out no end.
Taking
I'm
notes as well, isn't
sure that she's the love of my life, and at some point, yeah, we'll get married for sure. Why not?
Beautiful.
Let's get the government involved. Everything's going great. Let's get the government involved.
Excellent. And thank you for listening. That has been Exiled Eagles for the nuptial special. All right. So who knows what's going on? Well, look, we're going to start with my trip over to the UK. I went to a live game. So not only when I went with James Howland, friend of the pod, more from him later. He did say on the way to the game that I have to watch the whole game and I can't just duck in and out for 25 minutes. So what which was tough, and it looked genuinely was tough because it was the Arsenal game, and my God, so boring, such a boring game. But what was cool was I was standing in the concourse before we went to our seats, and just looking around, as what was about 2,500, 3,000 Palace fans. I looked to my right, and one of the original guys from the Palace Sydney lot, Andy, was standing there with his partner. And he's like, I looked at him, he looked at me. You know, when you look at each other, like, I recognize you from somewhere. We both did that look. And I was like, holy shit, it's Andy. So when I had a good chat to him as well, which was cool. I introduced James, but great day. Great day. I must thank James for getting me the ticket. So we went to Dishoom. Anyone heard of Dishoom? Well, Dale, have you heard of Dishoom? You were in London last year. It's massive, apparently. Heard of it?
The
No?
shoe.
Dishoom. It's like an Indian place where you can do like, it does like bacon and egg naans and stuff like that. It was really cool. So,
Right.
mate, you missed out. You missed out. She's gone there before Wembley, trust me. Went there, drinks. James, I met James's wife. She is real, so I can confirm
She's lovely.
she is absolutely lovely. He's done very well there. And his friends who were also very good. The guy that owns the cheese shop, met him and a couple of others, and then went in, had a we didn't have enough time to have a beer before we went in, but a couple of beers in the ground. Atmosphere was okay, I'd say. First half, we looked like we could do something. Like there was space opening up in with Arsenal, but as soon as they scored, That was it. They just shut up shop. That there was.
Who scored? Who scored?
Oh,
Yeah, who was that?
Aberystwyth
Who
Eze,
scored
if
for
you've
them
heard of
again?
him. If you've heard of
I
him.
never heard of him. Never heard of him.
It was the most guaranteed thing to happen of all time. Like the great finish, but
Wasn't
they
it?
just play. They play for set pieces. Really boring to
Can I
watch.
just say, with Eze, that guy, I was really angry that he didn't celebrate. I
He
wanted
didn't
him
say.
to go. I wanted him to go full Adebayor, kiss the badge, two fingers up to the Palace fans. I wanted it so then I could hate him. And I could say, I don't care that you scored the winning goal in the FA Cup final, and I don't care that you scored goals in the semi-final and the quarter-final and the third round and whenever else. I hate you. But no, he had to be bloody respectful, didn't he? Had to be respectful, and now I like him even more. Just
I mean,
fucking
he
break
just did
up
his
with
normal.
us. Just break up with us, you bastard.
He just did his normal celebration. He just kind of jogged off, didn't do much, and did the cross. That's what he does all the time, really.
No, he has a bit, mate. He's had this one, that one, he's had it on his knees. He
Just to
gives it a little
clarify,
bit more
we're in
sometimes.
the audio medium, so you doing the celebrations on camera is not doing great things
I
for the
know, but
audio.
it works for you. The celebration I did was the one when he scored the overhead kick against Villa end of 23,
West
24
Ham, wasn't it? It
season.
was West Ham.
West, however it was, yeah. That one. And he sometimes goes on his knees and he gives it a little look as if to say, like, yeah, that was me. But this was literally just to cross. And I was like, mate, do something more.
And to be fair, and me and James were talking about it. In the second half, he was so slow to clear a ball. Like the ball was bouncing just on the edge of the Arsenal box, and Gaye saw who it was going to be Eze. Eze just saunters over to it. Gaye goes and wins the race, gets the ball, and crosses the ball in again. And within about 35 seconds, Eze's hooked. After that, the Arsenal didn't want, like, Arteta just wanted wants just busy bodies everywhere, people getting in and getting stuck in. That's not what Eze does. But look, he didn't do much. Scored a nice goal. I tell you, he was bloody brilliant, Declan Rice, though. Holy shit, what a player! Yeah, we could have still been playing today, and we wouldn't have scored. But hey, so that was my live Palace fix for the next, what, 4 years? A 1-0 defeat away at Arsenal, which is great for me. Since been back and obviously watched all the 25-minute highlights since, which was good. Did watch
Rob, what
the.
are they asking? What are they asking for a beer there at the Emirates these days?
I don't know because I was bought a beer, so I can't answer that
Okay,
question.
fair enough.
But we went to the pub afterwards, got around in there, just down from the stadium. The answer, Mark, is quite a lot, I believe, is the
Yeah,
answer to your question there.
I'd imagine it would be.
Yes, so you can buy half of Tasmania for what they're asking for a pint in London at the moment. So that was me. I did watch the Larnaca game when I was in Lisbon on the TV, and to be honest with you, I didn't realise how strong the beers I was drinking was, so I do not remember the second half, which is not a bad thing. I had to. I didn't. I woke up the next morning. I completely forgot we lost 1-0, but which was good. Then I reminded myself by like checking a score again. C'est la vie. All right, that's me. That was the excitement of my trip to London. Once again, thank you, James, for the tickets. If any Palace fans are listening to this, Dale is normally the one to get your tickets. I just got lucky. So if you do want a ticket, just reach out to Dale and he'll be able to sort you out.
Not just Palace fans either, just any game, any contest,
Yep.
music festivals, the works. Dale Quarty, Dale Ticketmaster Quarty is what they call him. So just
Flights are
in
come, the whole
touch.
deal.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
This
Mr.
is a.
Sacco these
I mean,
days, but.
it's just, yeah, it's
He's just lost
to
the words at the gratitude
this
of the man.
is
What a guy.
5 years old, 5.5 years old, and it
Which,
is
to
still
be fair, that was basically
boring
the. To be fair, Dale, that was basically the last time we potted. So, I mean,
as
pretty much
hell.
just, recent
Yeah.
stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact that you took 450,000 people to Oasis with you last week as well.
Impressive.
All right, so look, we're what, a quarter of the way through the season now. We're unfortunately not quite 12th. We haven't quite made the magical mark of 12th, so which is a strange feeling. We're still in whatever they call the, is it the Carabao, the Carling, the League Cup. We are going okay in Europe as well. So I would love to kind of flick this one over to the guys. We'll start with Ticketmaster. How do you feel like the season's gone so far? How would you kind of rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 so far?
It's a bit of a tough one, right? Because we are a couple of Jean-Philippe Mateta shots away from saying it's been the best start to a season that you could ever imagine. And at the moment, I'm not going to say it feels a bit ho-hum, but we're in 11th. Woo-hoo! We're one place above where we should be, as the joke goes. We're obviously still in Europe, and we're not going to get out of that. But like, we're in Europe, and we apart from the Lanaka result, it's been good. But again, I think it's kind of telling that we're not even selling out our European games, which seems a bit odd. And then you got the Carabao Cup, which I was hoping would go really deep in it, and I'm just worried about the next round. And it's one of those questions you could ask this question again in a couple of weeks, and it'll be, if you say it's a B now, it could easily be a D in a couple of weeks, or it could be an A plus. I don't know. It just feels like a really funny season. Like, I didn't even realize at one stage that we were 18 games unbeaten. I was like, hold on a second, where's that come from? I know we had the break in between, but it just seems like we're kind of almost turning into that team which no one takes any notice of, and then oh look, there they are. They're exactly where they should be again. So I don't know. All of that to say, I think it's like a B plus. I think, yeah.
On your point about the not selling out the European home games, I believe that's a pricing thing as opposed to anything else. I think the club have just gone massive, have overpriced a lot of tickets, and
How much
that's what
are?
we're.
I don't know how much they even are.
I don't know. I think some people say like 40, 50 quid for a ticket to go and see Larnaca and Shelbourne, where like Shelbourne offer them for like a pack of three for like £30. That is just, I think there's, from what I'm understanding, they've slightly missed the mark with pricing.
Yeah,
So I
but
don't. It's not
you
a.
say
It's not a
that.
malaise with the fan base. It's a.
No,
You're trying
I
to.
think with that, if I again, complete speculation here. I'm just guessing. I imagine Shelbourne doing 3 for 35 euro, or whatever, and selling out their stadium, which I'm not sure what the capacity is. We probably need to have it at a certain price to be able to be breaking even on the night. And that might be why. So they might even be saying it's 40 quid because if we get 80% capacity at 40 quid, it helps us to be. I don't know. I'm completely speculating. I have no idea. But yeah, it's just a bit of a surprise to see that those games. I just thought it would be. And no doubt, if we get through this initial group stage and we're into a knockout, the knockout games will be full. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, B plus.
Yes. What about you, married man?
I think, in terms of with just to, continue on that attendances point, I mean, I think you also got to factor in the fact that Thursday night you're playing against a team full of people you've never heard of who 100% are going to come along and park the bus, and it's going to be awful to watch. You've got another game on the Saturday, so backing it up to go three games in a week is a challenge. I think we're Palace fans. We're used to playing league games. If we're lucky, we get three or four cup games a year, and that's us covered. And then I think so. People have budgeted for and have sort of set themselves for that, and all of a sudden we're playing three times a week for 2 months, and that gets very expensive. And you got to pick and choose which games you can get to.
You do get a chance, though, to see Republic of Ireland goal-scoring superstar Troy Parrott do absolutely nothing against us, though, which was
I
great.
mean, you do get that, but the thing is, at the time, no one knew it was Republic of Ireland's goal scoring superstar Troy Parrott. become goal scoring superstar Troy Parrott until that point. So, if we were to play ours at Alkmaar tomorrow, obviously I assume it would be sold out for the, full, Irish Palace fans wanting to celebrate that. But I think in terms of the season, look, we've played. I think most of the games that we've played some really good football. We've created lots of chances. We've played most teams. I think most games that I've watched, I would say that we, for large parts of the game, have been the better side. Finishing is a problem, and that makes a huge difference, obviously. But I think, you then also have to look at, you look at the likes of a Mateta and you look at all of the chances that he's missing and you go, that's very frustrating. But equally, you go, we've got ourselves a striker who is getting into positions where he could score five, six goals every game. Is it frustrating that he's missing, four and a half of those five goals every game? Yeah, obviously. But you don't get those chances necessarily without him, and you don't necessarily get, those chances without the way that we're playing. And I think you get to the point where with a striker like that, well, he's getting a lot of practice. So, at some point they're going to start going in the back of the net. You think he's gone from one of the most efficient strikers in front of goal about 2 years ago, to probably one of the least efficient strikers in front of goal, but he's still getting in the positions and he's still, running around. He's still scoring a bunch of goals. The fact that he's missing a few, he's still banging some in. And so, I think we're, to borrow a Roy Hodgson phrase, we're perhaps a little bit spoiled with our choice of striker at the moment, and we're maybe getting a little bit overexcited considering the guy, banging in hat tricks and all sorts, scoring goals for France, which, we'll leave that as a separate sort of thing. But I think, yeah, season-wise, it's going well. I think annoyingly, Europe isn't helping us. With all of the excess games, I think, yeah, as you say, the next couple of months is going to be a real test because we haven't rotated the squad as much as we probably should have. There's talks of Uche going back to Spain, which I think would be, even if he's rubbish, I think would be absolutely madness, just given the fact that we're about to lose Sarr, we're about to play 633 games in about 2 weeks. I would not be sending anyone away or letting anyone leave at this point. And you would be wanting to get reinforcements on top of that, because people are about to start getting injured, which, happens to us at Christmas at the best of times. And we're throwing in an extra half dozen games now as well. So, it's only a matter of time before we get a couple of hamstrings go ping. And then it's really testing to see what depth we have, because we haven't given them a run. So I'm hoping we can finish off, get a win under our belt in Europe next, try and get that to that last game or two down to be a dead rubber so we can literally just play small children, put the under 11s out there, and hopefully get everyone a slight rest, and take it from there.
Whilst I 100% agree with you on the Uche thing about sending him back because we need him for a squad, he's going to the AFCON. Oh no, did Nigeria qualify for the AFCON? I don't know actually. They're in? So.
Nigeria in the AFCON. They're not in the World
World
Cup
Cup.
because
It's the World Cup.
Cape Verde people were using voodoo during the penalty shootout. That's what the coach of Nigeria said.
Well, Roy Hodgson did use voodoo for 2 seasons over me and made me watch that. So, cry me a river, a Nigerian coach. So we're going to lose him anyway, right? So he's going to AFCON with Sarr.
Maybe that
So
was the plan. We don't play him for 6 months so that he doesn't get picked for the AFCON squad and
he's getting
get
picked.
him to stay.
He's barely played this year. And he's getting picked for them. So, Marky Mark, how have you felt about it all? Your feelings about the season.
This season, I don't know, it's a bit of a funny one for me. I'm struggling to, I don't know, really get into it. Like, I know since the start, I just haven't been able, for one reason or another, watch that many matches in their entirety. Watch Brighton,
Because
Forest,
you've got
and
a girlfriend.
one other game. I do now, pending fiancé Dale, from your comments earlier. And Yeah, some awful times. I went and had a look through. I was trying to tee up a game to go and watch. Well, the Barmy Army here for the Ashes, and we've only got two games on, and they're both fucking midweek and like 4:35 a.m. in the morning. And I don't think we have one early game the whole season. That's like 11 p.m. midnight Sunday game. It's been really shit timing. I'm in the busiest quarter of the year myself, so I'm flat out. Miso doesn't help. They want some time and attention, which is fair. And so yeah, I've kind of struggled to really get my teeth into it, let's say. Obviously just sort of observing and watching minis and taking a leaf out of your book, Rob. Yeah, I'm not as entrenched as I normally would be. I plan to change that once my working year comes to a halt in about 5 weeks' time. But mate, what I've seen, I think probably too, it's very hard to come down from such a high of the Cup, Community Shield, and then, what I mean? Like keep dancing to the beat of that drum. There were wonderful things, but it was kind of like back to here we go again type thing. And I think we've been neither here nor there. I don't think we've been groundbreaking. I think we've played good footy. Defence looks great. We've just kind of been where we are, and where everyone expects us to be. And like Dale said as well, we're kind of going under the radar a little. I don't we're not wowing anyone. I think it is nice to hear though from punditry or coaches of opposition that we play that they know they've got to work hard and that we can be a handful and a team to watch, catch them on the break and a bit of talent up front. JPM, yeah, some of those have got to start going in, haven't they? I think I saw recently he's got the highest XG at the whole prem or second highest. Obviously he's not banging all those in, but you'd sooner have a guy with that than not. And not scoring goals, you know what I mean? So the fact that the chances are there and just not quite pulling the trigger, yeah, that'll come. Doing well for France, obviously. So you always want to see your guys go back to their respective countries and play well there, which a lot of them are doing. And look from what I'm observed and stuff, I think it's absolutely a pass for the season. If you want me to rate it out of 10, it's probably, I don't know, a 6.5, 7. We lost Eze as well, so that's always tough to fill that void. In saying that, I think what I have watched, it isn't glaringly obvious. You don't watch it go, oh fuck, if only we had Eze back or this and that. Gay's still going great, Mitchell's going great, Munoz, everyone's chiming in. Kamada seemed to have hit the ground running from the off this season, as opposed to taking a fair while to bed in last season. So it's all looking good. I just probably worry a bit getting down the track with the heavy scheduling. I think we've got like three games in 7 days or something coming up, which will test the squad and the depth. And yeah, like Ned said, I wouldn't be letting anyone go at this point, regardless of their usage or talent, because you just never know.
Yeah, I mean, all very wise words for once. Jesus Christ, we haven't played for a while, so people have thought they're good stuff. I feel like we're three quarters of the way there. Like keeper, brilliant. Defense, brilliant. I think we've got the third meanest defense in the league behind City and Arsenal, I believe, something like that. Midfield, like when you've got Kamada and Wharton, and like Lerma has been great the last couple of games. Hughes comes in and does a job, great. We're creating chances. Sarr's been fantastic. Pino has started better than like everyone's. A lot of people got on Pino's back, but he started better than say Kamada did when he first came in, and Lacroix
100%.
when he first came in. And now look how good those two are. The only the kind of the fly in the ointment, as it was, is I suppose JP's finishing. Like he's been his centre forward play has been fantastic. Apart from the finishing part, like he's bullying defenders. That going back to the game, what I saw when I was there at Arsenal, he battered Gabriel and who was the other one, Saliba. He battered them that first half. Saliba went off at half time. I know he was slightly injured, but said JP didn't give him a second and was physical with him, and it was brilliant. And then he misses, he has the misses like he had against Bournemouth, for example, and the one against Everton at the open goal. And it's like, we could, like, if he'd score, I know, should have, would have, could have, and all the million different things there. But like the gilt-edged chances that you'd hope that a Premier League striker would put away, it would be in third or fourth comfortably.
Oh
So,
yeah, three or four of those goals are going in, man. We're way up the ladder. Absolutely.
yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'd say A minus. Could the criticism of OG, I think, with the rotation and not blooding certain, like not blooding much many youngsters and stuff like that, I think is warranted, because we he's like Sar looks like he's been running to the ground, JP's been running to the ground, Lacroix hasn't missed a second, although having 2 weeks off is going to help because he didn't go on international duty. We do need to see some rotation, and as Ned rightly said, hopefully we get Europe done and dusted, qualified in there, and then there's just some dead rubbers, and we bring in your SAs and kind of your Lermas and your Hugheses and Riads and Cardines and start Borna Sosa and those type of guys to give kind of our first 11 a rest. But it's weird as a Palace fan to be saying, like, complaining about stuff like that. It's really fucking weird, but I'll take it. All right, so after the huge popularity of the Carl Wirt game, which will be coming back, guys, don't you worry. So don't get excited for that. I'm going to hand
Emails
over
have been
to
coming in. What's happened to the Carl
they have.
Wirt
We have
game?
a
Bring back the
whole,
Wirt game.
exactly. We have a whole inbox just dedicated to the Carl Wirt game. So that
There's
will be
nothing
coming.
in there, but we have an inbox.
I mean, don't give. Don't, why are you giving out like the view under the hood like that, Dale?
Mate,
Jesus.
anyone that's been
Vince.
listening to this podcast for the last 8 years or whatever it is, they know there's nothing in the inbox,
So I'm just gonna mute Dale there. Sorry, he's not allowed to speak. So I think it's very unfair there, Dale, that you're really just talking down this fantastic podcast, and you need to just have a bit of a rethink and bring some more positivity and energy to this game you're about to bring us.
Yeah,
Yes.
our sponsors won't like that chat, Dale.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. What was it called? What that media, that sports marketing media scouting company, Scout 11, whatever it used to be called.
Yeah,
Rob, I'm looking at
wasn't
you.
that you, Rob?
Yeah, there,
A
Dale.
few moons ago with your business venture.
Oh yeah, mate, they fucked that. Yeah. That's on a scrap heap with about 400 of my entrepreneurial ideas at the moment. I've got about another 400 more. My wife can't hear another business idea. She's like, just stop. So I've got many figures and many pies. Those pies are just like stone cold, very
Just eat
stone
them, man.
cold.
Just eat them. Anyway.
But yeah, we'll hand over to Dale, who's got something new for us.
Yeah. So we're going to play a game. It is called Overrated, Underrated, Perfectly Rated. I am going to give out to the guys seven different topics, players, themes, whatever, to do with Palace this so far this season. And you can decide whether you think it's perfectly rated, overrated, underrated. All right.
Fair enough.
So we'll go around. I want you to show your working. So first one is Jeremy Pino. Overrated, underrated, perfectly rated. Selts.
But I can't show all my workings, so I've got Ned's predictions here. So I don't want to show all those workings for it. I'm gonna say underrated, and this is why. I feel like he's a Spanish international, so people were expecting him to come in and tear up the Premier League straight away. It's like, look at the amount of play. Look at, let's Florian Wirtz, for example, cost 140 mil, and what is it? He's got no, maybe one assist all season. Pino has mucked in. He looked great in that cameo against Villa, obviously. But he's not scared of hard work. He'll get stuck in. He'll chase back. Has he made mistakes? Absolutely. Of course he has. He's a 22-year-old Spanish player coming to a brand new, much more physical league. There's been lots of players that have come from La Liga that haven't quite fit straight away. I feel like his start, as I said before, has been better than Kamada's, has been better than Lacroix's. And if that's the start and look where those guys are now, I feel like we've got a player there.
Mark?
For the same player in question?
Yeah, same player, that's right.
Yeah, okay. As in currently now, what of those three options?
Yeah,
Underrated,
overrated,
overrated, perfectly rated?
overrated, underrated, perfectly rated.
I think, excuse me, initially underrated, and that was just, I didn't know anything about the guy, I'd never heard of him. But then when I looked into him and a few of his stats, I felt like there should have been far more chat about him. And then when I saw him playing, look good, like Rob said, get in there, get his hands dirty. He's got sort of, what's he, 22 or something, so young pup, got a bit of that Spanish mongrel about him, and so I thought he was underrated. He missed probably a couple of opportunities that he should have taken, I thought, but given his time at the club, adapting to a whole new way of life and that sort of jazz, I think that will come. Certainly showing more promise from the off than like a Kamada did. As it stands now, currently, with a bit more chat going on around him, I think he's perfectly rated.
And Nev.
I'm going to agree with Mark there and say I think at the moment he is perfectly rated. I think he is a player with huge potential. He has definitely started better than some of those other people that we spoke about. He has done some brilliant stuff, and he has done some, he's made Jean-Philippe Mateta's finishing look good at times. If he could add an end product, I mean, he's got a couple, there's a couple of games where he's picked up those assists, and you go, wow, this player's seriously got something here. And then 5 minutes later, you'll get a one-on-one and put it, into Rose Ed or as you say, he's young. I think at the moment he's perfectly rated, and I think that may help us get to the point where if he picks up a little bit, he will become underrated. If he keeps improving, I think the fact that he's not started as, just come straight out of the blocks gives us that sort of opportunity to build into him before people start to realize, oh, hang on a minute, this guy can play. At which point he will probably go through a little period of being underrated before we sell him for 330 million back to Madrid, where he will win the Ballon d'Or and be considered overrated by many. So he's perfectly
All right,
rated.
cool. I'm not going to give an answer. I'm just going to say it depends who you're rating him against. If you're going on the start of the season when everyone's like, oh, Spanish international, here we go, he's overrated. If you're rating him against Eze, you're going to be underwhelmed. And if you're rating him against Francher, then you're going, who's that guy? He's a waste of space. Anyway, next one. The Conference League. Overrated, underrated, perfectly rated, Ned.
Overrated. Like when the competition came in, it was a complete waste of time. We're in it. I still think it's a complete waste of time. It's lovely to be able to say we're playing European football. But was I dreaming of playing, the Finnish champions in a game of football? Probably not quite what I had in mind.
Cool. Mark?
It's overrated. It shouldn't exist, in my opinion. I think it's just a money grab from the boffins at the top that already have very deep pockets, and they're just not satisfying unless they're just piling in a heap of cash on a week-to-week basis. So apart from, the winner of it that then gets a ticket to Europa the following season, I believe. Apart from that, I think it just puts a strain on all the clubs that are participating. They're generally not big. They're in a what, third tier European comp. I just don't really see what purpose it serves. It's great to be in it. Yay, we're in Europe, all that jazz. I get all that. That's fine. Granted, without the fucking bullshit from Marinakis and Again, the powers that be, we would be in Europa, which I've got a bit more time for. But yeah, conference, mate. I reckon it very much overrated.
What results?
Agreed, overrated. Like to be in Europe, but I mean, what standard is this Europe like? Yes, we lost the Lanaka Cup, but you know, we've got cups and Shelbourne and that type of stuff. Overrated.
I still hope we win it though.
For sure.
At which point it will become clinically underrated and one of
Obviously, if we win it, it's
the
absolutely fine. It's bang on. But at the moment, massively overrated.
right, next one. Jody Canvo. And I will caveat this by saying, Mark, you wouldn't have seen this comment. Selch, you may or may not have seen this comment. Ned definitely did. I turned around and said, it's going against Larnaca. Well, I really like this guy. He is a perfect replacement for Mark Gahey. He's going to be superb for us, and cue him giving the ball away and Larnaca scoring. I will stand by my comment. And Celts, Jody Canberra, overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated?
I'm going to say perfectly rated. He looks very good. He's 19. He made a mistake, but then he's looked very, very composed since. You know, when you just like came in against Brighton in a game that, you know, it notoriously can be a bit feisty. You know, when what's his name died for the penalty, he didn't stick his leg out. He was calm, composed then, has looked very composed on the ball, strong. I wouldn't say underrated. He's not underrated. I would say perfectly rated. I think there's one hell of a player there, and I agree he's going to certainly soften the blow when Mark Gahey leaves.
Ned.
I think this one's a difficult one because I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's got a lot of potential. To say whether he's underrated, overrated, or perfectly rated, got to work out who rates him and what he's rated at. I think he'll be a very, very good player. He's probably rated appropriately at the moment, because people have got some pretty big raps on him. Saw a few things that he sort of went. Like he had one of the biggest jumps in value after he signed for us. It was like a stat that came out in terms of the value of a player, and he was like right up there, which made no sense given he hadn't played any games for us at the time. But hey, stats. I will say perfectly rated just for the fact that I think a lot of people have got some pretty big raps on what is potentially going to be a very, very, very handy footballer. So I don't think we can say he's sneaking under the radar. So I will say perfectly rated, but a very, very good footballer, and very happy to have him. Great signing.
And Mark.
Yeah, just to change tact on the perfect grade. I'll say underrated for some of the same reasons that Ned said. I think that there's a hell of a player there. I'm saying a great deal of him, but I thought he showed a tremendous amount of composure for his time on the pitch for us and his age in the Brighton game. You know, that's a pretty big deal to come in there. Thank God for VAR because watching that, I was like, fuck, what are you doing, mate? Giving away a pen. Then I can't remember, it was a piece of shit from Brighton. Went to the turf and got a card for it, that I was pretty happy about. And yeah, he looks a good, and I think there's a lot more to come. And I dare say, under the tutelage of Ollie, he'll come good and wow us all. So yeah, I'll go with underrated.
Yeah, I'm going with underrated as well. I think the kid's absolutely superb, and I think he's got the footballing world at his feet. But don't say that lightly. I think he's absolutely class. A couple more. January transfer window. Overrated, underrated, perfectly rated. Ned.
I'm going to be continue being boring here. It's rated. I don't really think it's. Just don't really have an opinion on it, really. I think you do need a point to get some reinforcements in. I think a lot of January signings tend to be overrated and overpriced, but I think the actual window itself, you got to have it. As annoying as it might be for losing players, hopefully we definitely need it to hopefully get a few in. So I'll just say it's rated.
Mark.
I will say, it's overrated. And I'll just say that because it's ever since following, the Premier League or Palace English football. Obviously, we haven't been in the Prem for 20 seasons, but across this sort of mid-season, oh, here's a fucking transfer window to bolster your stocks or move and shake, which as a an Aussie growing up, it's just you do that shit in the off season. There's just no options once the season starts. That's it. You got who you got. There might be some really odd, medical retirement or a bloke you get to replace, but apart from some real oddities, your mob's your mob, and that's what gets you through. So I get it's a very different dynamic, then you've got teams, you can be playing in what, sort of five comps, whatever, depending on how you're going. So I get why it exists and how it is advantageous for a lot of clubs to utilize to replenish stock, sell whatever, whatever. We're going to be looking pretty square in the eyes, I dare say, with Gahey come this January. But yeah, I don't know, and I'm not going to die on this cross, but I'd just through habit, I'd be happy for it to just not exist, and you just get whoever for the season, and that's it, man. So,
I'm happy with that.
yeah.
Get injuries, use your squad, use your kids, whatever. Sells.
Massively overrated. It's a bit of a gimmick, to be honest with you. It's like, right, all the January transfer window's coming up. Who are you going to do? What are you going to buy? And then let fans get excited and try and make. Like, I understand there needs to be a time where you do need to add to your stock. I like Mark's argument, but I do think there's a time. At some point, if injuries, suspensions, that type of thing, you need to bring players in. But I just think it's a bit of a gimmick, like that Sky have basically built up into this massive thing that it really isn't. Players are overpriced. Sky try and sell players to the big clubs from clubs like Palace. So Bournemouth have got it with Semenyo at the moment. He's been linked to Liverpool, and they're trying to send him to Liverpool in January.
Yeah,
So.
good Ghanaian player. He should be going. He should be the pinnacle of everything to do with football. He is the new
Agreed.
king of football. And Antoine Semenyo. Hey, Charlie, we're here. That's all I'm going to say about Antoine Semenyo.
And I could only echo those sentiments.
Well said, Brian. Well said. Well said.
But yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
Two more.
Quickly add on that one though is the fact that it is a global game. Not all the leagues play at the same time. If you are going to move between different competitions, you do kind of need that extra window. But the way Rob said about Sky building up in the UK is spot on.
I agree. All right, two more. There's a lot of chat about this in August. New kit. Overrated, underrated, perfectly rated, awful.
Without an extra option.
Because I know some people probably sit in the awful pile. Mark, we'll start with you.
Initially, at first glance, I thought awful. Are we talking about the three as a whole or an individual breakdown?
Let's do the home kit, because let's be honest, the gold kit's terrible. They're completely missed with that gold kit has as good an XG as Jean-Philippe Mertesa, and that's all I'm going to say. The white kit, I always like our white kits. I think
Yeah.
that's I love that. Let's go with that home kit.
Yeah, home kit. I initially thought awful, and then I probably reverted to sort of perfectly rated, just middle of the road. I'm neither here nor there. I'm not getting one. My eyes aren't going to bleed if I see one in real life. I do like JPM wearing the long sleeve. It's quite cool. He wears those well. I like it.
All right, Ned.
Just to change tact, I'm going to say I was met initially. I'm going to say underrated. It's growing on me. I don't hate it. Given that everyone rates it quite poorly, I'll say it's underrated because it's not that bad.
Now,
And
chime in quickly
sells.
before Rob. As a chime in quickly before Rob, I didn't actually mind the gold third kit. It's very unpopular, I know.
It's controversial,
It's better. It's is much better when you see him playing in it than when they were just doing the photo shoot. It's much
Yeah.
better. But yeah, I'm not a fan. They can't, they missed it
Yeah.
with that one. But anyway.
I didn't mind it. Sorry, Rob, where you go?
No, it's all right. I mean, rated. No, some people like it, some people don't. I think that's how kits are. I gave the boys, well, two, the choice of whichever one they want, the home, away, or third. And they both went for the home, so they quite like it. It's okay. Blue and red, rated.
Last one. Here we go. Wilfried Zaha. Overrated, underrated, perfectly rated.
By who?
Selts.
Oh, I'm gonna say rated because 99.9% of Palace fans like realize that he's our best ever player. Dale, of course, he doesn't. Whatever, but he's the best player to ever play for Palace. We would not be where we are right now without Wilfried Zaha, and I will die on this hill. And if it, like so, I think most Palace fans believe that. So I would say rated. He's certainly not overrated. That's for certain. I'm just torn between overrated and underrated, so I'm going to go say rated.
Ned.
I mean, I'm just gonna be blatantly Palace biased here and say underrated. As Rob said, he is the reason why we are where we are. You know, probably didn't hit the heights that he could have in his career, but you know, that probably advantaged us because it meant that we got him back again. If he was any better than he had have been, he probably wouldn't have been able to be as much of a success for us as he was. So I'm just going to say it's Wilf Zaha. You can't rate him high enough, so he has to be underrated.
Mark.
Well, firstly, clearly, was it 4 or 5 seasons later, still obviously living rent free in your head.
Hear about him in about every Palace chat I'm in, so it's not my fault.
yeah, not even playing in, which playing for Charlotte now or someone like that, is that where he's landed? Look, I think at the time, yeah, absolutely, when he was coming through, it was hard to argue that he was our best player to that point. And you know, on his shoulders, back to the semi-final, or the second leg, the heroics against Brighton, getting us into the playoff and stuff like that. So he's certainly got runs on the board at the club for the club. I think if Wilf was as good as Wilf thought he was, he would have had a far more stellar career. That just wasn't quite the case. So I think there was a bit of that going on. But also, I agree with Ned that he probably could have gone on and done other things had he have left us a bit earlier. But then again, he might have had the intelligence or been advised as like, fuck, Wilfred, this all may not work out how you think it is elsewhere, brother. So stay here, be the hero, the champ, the big fish in the small pond. And they'll probably paint a big fuck off mural about you one day. And you might appear on some podcast as a topic in a new game that they've started. So yeah.
I'll just add to mine that I'll say rated by Palace fans, underrated by everyone else.
No, not at
That's the
all.
other thing.
I'm gonna go against that and say I am 100%. He's the reason we got to where we were. All that stuff. Yeah, great. He was never underrated in the slightest. He was known to be every year most valuable player in the Premier League. Take your best player outside the top six. He was always named in that. He was always the first player. Whenever we were going to play against somebody, everyone always said, "Got to stop Wilfried Zaha." Palace don't have Wilfried Zaha, they don't win games. I do not think for one second he was underrated as a Palace player. He was probably, if we're going to be honest, he was probably perfectly rated because everyone knew it went through him. To Mark's point, it's probably the key point. how good Will thought he was not what other people thought he was. The value that we had on him was not the value other people had on him. So to other people, he was probably actually overrated. To us, he was probably perfectly rated. I'll never for one second say that guy was underrated.
I'll
It's
say
not true.
I'll disagree because the amount of times that he has a stormer against someone, and then they all go on, all these fans go on and say, "He only ever plays well against us. He only does it against
No,
us." And then
that's
every
just
fan in the Premier League saying it.
that's just football fans. All football fans will turn around and say to you, will turn around and say, "Oh, if a team doesn't win in 10 games, they always win against us." We say it, everyone says it. So hold on, every team that doesn't win in 10 games wins against every other team, must mean they're always winning. That's just football fans because they only ever see him play. They generally only see people play a team play twice in a season, generally, when they play against your team. Like I said, the fact that Wilf was in every team, every time someone said best player outside the top six, he had one of the first names on the sheet. He cannot have been underrated. Cannot have been.
And
Yeah,
there we have it,
fair.
guys. We all say Dale Wilf's underrated, Dale overrated.
Yeah, I was going to
I
say,
didn't say that.
The
I've got one more.
defense
Dale's game.
are on arrest.
Dale's game. Overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated? Mark.
Carl
Oh,
Veer.
fuck. Drastically overrated.
No, Cole Veer.
Carl Veer game.
Yeah. Good answer, Rob. And the right one.
No, I liked it. I liked it. I was a big fan, though. We'll be
No, I
potting
did like it. In all honesty, I did.
when we pot
Good
at
game.
Mark's wedding in 2028, we'll do it again.
Mate,
All right.
2027 if you're chatting to the miso, but anyway.
2032, if you ask you.
I'll be dead before then. Oh, Jesus.
Gee, bloody hell. Oh, I mean, that's taken a
While
turn.
we're still on this game, and this is just one for Ned. Ned, marriage, underrated, overrated, or perfectly rated?
My wife doesn't listen, so it's fine. My mum does, though, so I better say that it is perfectly rated and wonderful, and everything is fantastic about it. Love you, mum. And we'll just leave it at that.
Well said. Well
Awesome. All right,
played.
so unfortunately for everyone, we're coming towards the end, but don't turn off just yet because speaking of underrated, we have no,
Overrated.
not arguably, definitely the best author that writes about Crystal Palace FC, James Howland. He's releasing his fourth book of The Palace Addiction. So we met up with James earlier on to talk about that and let you know about it. So with Christmas coming up, get yourself a copy, get your loved ones a copy, get people to read it. Mine's on order. It's on its way to Australia. Takes a while. Everything takes a while to get here. I've read the other three.
Fair.
They're both brilliant. So I would highly recommend anyone listens to this to get themselves a copy of James's book, The Palace Addiction 4. And this is what James had to say.
Hi guys, thanks for having me on. So basically, the idea for the book came from what I think is definitely the best video of that wonderful day in May, that was taken at full time, that just went around the crowd showing dozens and dozens of us crying, collapsed to the floor, embracing loved ones, looks of disbelief, just kind of that moment of our lifetime supporting Palace coming together. It was just a pure outpouring of genuine emotion that you just don't see in public, particularly from sort of men. And I was one of those people. I was in hysterical tears, and I really sort of reflected in the days after why. And it wasn't about a beer Eze or beating Man City. It was the pinnacle of that lifelong journey as a Palace fan that's been the one constant kind of throughout all of our lives. And my story, my Palace story, begins at Wembley. My first game was the Hopkins playoff final, and it was obviously kind of where Palace took my hand. And then inevitably my whole life too, and that semi-finals play kind of got that. And I sort of reflect on all of the games, so nearly 800 odd matches I've been to between that Hopkin one and the FA Cup final, what they mean to me, why Palace are so entwined in our lives. You know, we link events, we link friendships, triumphs, devastation, loss, good things in life, bad things in life, all link them into games and seasons and remember them by what was happening in kind of our lives at the time. And I've tried to reflect on my life and going through in the book on through three lenses. So one is, well, what were Palace doing, which over the last 30 years kind of tends out to be mainly losing. What was happening in my life, you know, those big events of sort of growing up, going to university, experience marriage, death, divorce, losing loved ones, living in Australia, all the things that we experience that kind of make up our life and why things are important to us. And then the third lens of sort of what's happening in the world and how did they link to Palace? What games did I hook those big events on? And I hope that this kind of shows my journey on that path we've all walked through our life, dreaming of Palace winning the FA Cup or having major success. And I just think that semi-final display absolutely hooked perfectly how a lot of us feel. Take my hand, take my whole life too. It's a shame the club have kind of ruined it and pissed all the fans off by keep on playing it. But for that moment, it was so perfect. And when I sort of knew at that point I was going to write this book, and if we'd lost the final, the book would have stayed unwritten and never included, because it had to have the ending of the dream coming true, that we just wanted this thing for all of our lives. And thankfully it did, you know, and I think it's amazing. You meet so many people on the way. You guys I met kind of living in Australia and are absolutely a key part of helping me have that experience and surviving that experience so far away from home. Friends I've made, you know, I got married in the summer. Two of my best men were Palace fans who I've just met from going to games. So many people, like on my stag do, over sort of half the group were Palace fans. And it's just that journey you go on and pick those people up along the way. And, you know, I even met my wife through one of my Palace mates. It just is such a part as a Palace fan, you know, as a football fan, but particularly a club who hasn't been successful. And it is that dreaming, that path, all those stories that you kind of have, and that shared love of that outpouring we had in that video. And then that end point of a final whistle going at Wembley and the two people I'd gone to the Hopkins game with, my dad and my older brother, were the first two people I was there embracing and hugging. And it's just an incredible story being a Palace fan that, I think we could all relate to. So I had to get it, you know, down on paper and try and explain why it mattered, why we were in tears. Because if Man City had won, there wouldn't have been any tears. And so, yeah, that's kind of the premise. I'm glad I wrote the book. Early sales have gone well. It's available on Amazon, but it should be on the Australian Amazon by now. But certainly the ebook is. Hopefully the paperback is now ready. But yeah, hopefully when people read it, I want them to reflect on their lives, reflect on their journey as a Palace fan, and just really think about why 6 months and 2 days ago meant as much as it did.
Well, listen to that. If you weren't taken back to that day in May, then wow, like I've got goosebumps again just thinking about it. The way James talks about it, I'm very excited to read the book. I'm sure some people listen to that and might have a tear in their eye. Obviously, because of how much that FA Cup meant to so many people, and I think James articulates it wonderfully there. And I'm very excited to read it on paper in the book. And to be honest with you, I'm slightly honoured to be part of that journey, of his journey when he came out to Australia to help him out. So get on Amazon, guy, anywhere, or wherever you want to buy it, whether you buy your books, it's on Amazon, or if you can find it anywhere else, go and get it. Support James. As I said, the first three were brilliant reads. This one shaping up to be the best one of the lot. So very excited to get my hands on it. What do you guys think of after hearing that?
I think just firstly, I don't know if James actually mentioned it or if we popped it at the start, but it is called The Palace Addiction 4. So if you are looking for it and you didn't get the title, that's what it is. I think, yeah, just a fantastic, you know, just memory being shared there by James. And I would have called it a shame. I would have called it a shameless plug, but it was actually quite nice, which is kind of annoying because I can't get stuck into him about it now. But no, I think in terms of, it does really sum up, the club and who we are. I think there was a few parallels I was sort of getting drawn to this week as an Australian Palace fan as well. Obviously, this is tw 20 years this week from the Aussies qualifying for the World Cup, and there's a lot of documentaries and stuff coming out about sort of the John Aloisi penalty and how that sort of, brought a lot of people together for similar reasons when we had the FA Cup, in terms of both football teams that aren't very good having a bit of success. And sort of, just hearing some of the players talk about their experiences of, people coming up to them and saying, "Hey, you actually changed my life," and football does do that. And you sort of, it's only those sorts of moments, and I think you only really get it. And I said after we won the FA Cup, same sort of thing. Yeah, I think you have to support those teams that have limited success in order to really appreciate it. And I think, yeah, James has put that really well, and I can't wait to have a read of his book.
Yeah, I think it's I'll just chime in while Bakary's still doing other things there. Yeah, I think it's great. It's a great thing that James has embarked on, in his fourth edition now. Obviously, a bit different inspo for this one with the little old FA Cup that we finally managed to win, and just hearing a bit of his blurb there, kind of takes you back and stuff. So I can only imagine. I don't want to get right back into the whole cup thing, but can only imagine, just what that was like. Something like James back to Wembley, back to where it all began, with the people it began with, lifting the cup, and hell of a time. And I agree with Ned as well. I think to get the true essence or joys out of what football can bring. I think they're from moments like that, when you're not the perennial fucking champion winner and it's just another, stick in the corner of the trophy cabinet or whatever. When it, I met James. Well, yeah, I went down to Sydney for the Asian Cup final that Australia were in 2015, a decade ago. And I teed up to meet him. We'd been chatting online. I think this is sort of pre-national meetup days and stuff. But I had been in touch with him, and I think I mentioned it on the pod before. Just randomly run into him in the shower block in my hostel, where I was. He evidently was living there at the time, working at the pub next door or something. So it was quite funny that we're supposed to meet the next day, but well, like you, Rob. Looking at Andy, sort of walked past each other. I'm going, he's coming out. I was like, I think that's a fucking bloke I'm supposed to meet tomorrow. And then he's like, I think I might have had my Palace kit, my towel in my hand or something like that. Anyway, that was a bit of a laugh. And good lad, Jimmy, good wordsmith, good bloke, good read. Get amongst it from Prime or it's probably in QBD or other book peddlers around the country or globe. Get involved.
Yeah, just for me, I'll probably wait for the movie to come out. I'm not a big book guy, but anyway. Yeah, I said it at the time, or the day after we did our pod. The Man City fans are saying to me they didn't care really about winning or losing, it's about out-singing us. That to me was just not what I knew we were going to win. And it goes to the point that James reaches and Ed has said that we're not meant to win these things, we're not the perennial winners. So it's great to hear. I know what it meant to me, and I know what it meant to a lot of people. James is probably one of the biggest Palace fans I know. I have the pleasure of going to a lot of Palace games with him because he always gets me a ticket and I'm back in the UK. I met up with him after the FA Cup final. I've since sent a picture to you lot showing it. You can hear it just in that message. I didn't listen to that voice note when he sent it earlier. I wanted to hear it for the first time now. You can hear the emotion still in his voice. Right. And I think to Rob's point about him being a great wordsmith, etc., yeah, he is. But it's not even about being a great wordsmith. He just talks with passion. I don't know what he's like at school when he's teaching kids. If he has half the amount of passion he has, he does with Palace, those kids are on for a great footing in life. And I jest about being about watching the movie. I am going to read the book. I've got the other three downstairs in the. In the bookcase, I mean, he mentions me in one of them, which is very nice. Yeah, I'll give it a read. I can't wait. And it's just the book will be one of those final pieces of the memories that can never be taken away from us. So whether it be Marinakis, whether it be UEFA, whether it be the weather, doesn't matter, because that was our FA Cup, it was our time, and it's just great to know that there's people like James who have been their feelings down on paper forever be immortalised.
Well said. And when I was over there, James did say the movie was coming out and he wants The Rock to play him. So,
Rock. Oh, so it's sci-fi. The book's sci-fi, is it?
Yeah, it's perfect casting. Perfect casting.
Like
for like. Yeah, exactly.
You're wondering, Mark. Sorry, I was just watching the Sixers getting absolutely pummeled at the moment by the Melbourne Stars.
Oh, that's fine, mate. As you were.
All right, on that wonderful note, let's hand over to anything Aussie as we wrap this bad boy up.
Jonathan Mark.
Not a great deal to bang on about, but still Palace related. Australia, couple of friendlies recently where we've come across Chris Richards playing for the US and one Jay Lerma going around for Colombia. I think he banged one in, didn't he, Ned? I only watched the mini of that.
Last minute. I didn't watch it, but yeah, last minute.
Yeah. Australia lost 3-0 and we lost 2-0 or 2-1 to Venezuela as well. So just a bit of a feeling out process, which is what friendlies are for Big Popper at the helm, but looking good. I think I saw a news flash or something. Sam Kerr's coming back for the fucking Tillies or whatever. I couldn't care less. I'm not bothered shit about that again. Going back to Dale's game earlier, overrated. Very, very overrated. One thing I didn't want to mention, though, Australia's oldest living socceroo, Kevin O'Neill, socceroo number 113, turned 100. Last week and still with us, so shout outs to him, Kevin O'Neill, OAM, still knocking about. I don't really have much more Aussie stuff to chime in with. A League's been going for a couple of weeks here. I'm barely watching that. When I say barely, I'm not. I don't have much more Aussie stuff.
You've watched the same amount as
actually, one tidbit I did get a hold of. I believe we have another Australian in the coaching ranks at Crystal Palace. James Holland is one of the assistant coaches there that I only learned of the other week. So that's nice to have a little bit of down under flavour at Selhurst Park.
Yeah,
I was saying, Mark, I've joined you this year. I thought that I've watched too much A-League recently. I'm going to just wind it back. So I'm off the A-League bandwagon, unfortunately. Well, how are my Mariners going?
Yeah, they're doing okay.
Couldn't tell you.
They're doing okay. We're early days. They're in the middle somewhere. But on Australian football, and I'm going to combine two of Rob's great loves with this next bit, Australian football and refereeing. So, you know, obviously – Salts will be just really tuned into this bit, but the Australian second tier, but not even the A-League, the Championship, the Australian Championship, which is new this year, coming into its final series, and they have been given the green light to be one of the first competitions to try VAR Lite, which is effectively they will now give coaches green cards to challenge call a certain number of calls per game. So that will be delightful to watch. So when the coaches disagree, they can show the referee a card instead of the other way around. And the referee can then turn around, tell them that they're wrong, and then show them a card of their own.
Which is exactly how it's going
to
go.
Wonderful thing to watch. And I'm sure that Salts can't wait. All those games live on SBS, Rob. So you don't have to miss them. They're all on free-to-air TV. Enjoy. And no, the Melbourne are not in that one. There are some teams from Sydney that will get beaten by the teams from Melbourne, though. So we'll win that, which is nice.
I just saw that. I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline for that. So is that a la a captain's challenge, but a football?
But yeah, it's literally they literally have a green card. And so when they want to challenge it, it's basically they're trying it out for the leagues that don't have all of the cameras.
No one gives a shit about. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're trying out for things that no one watches, no one cares. It's not going to go well, so fuck it. Let's just put it in there anyway.
It's more so that they can have, you know, so that videos can be used in, you know, those competitions, you know, like, say, you know, an FA Cup, for example, where they might be playing at grounds that only have a couple of angles. They don't have all of them. Basically, the coach can go, I think there's an absolute howler there. Can you please go and look at the two available replays? They go and and they can, you know, hopefully see if they've made a shocker or not.
And that's the full thing. Version of a captain's challenge in rugby league here.
VAR
league. Wonderful. I can't wait for that not to come in anywhere else.
We had VAR 3 years before the Premier League. That will be the next thing. We will volunteer be guinea pigs for anything FIFA like. It's great.
Oh God. Anyway, on that high note, just got a quick quiz for you, a question for you all, fellas. Ex-Palace striker. He's only gone and done it. Well done, Dale. Well done. We'll do it. We'll go again next week with, well, I say next week. We're not podding next week, fellas, are we?
Next episode.
We'll try, probably fail, but we'll try and get another one in before Christmas because we've got at least a full season to play between now and Christmas anyway. So, all that's left for me to say.
Special Christmas episode, mate, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do it on Christmas Day. That'll be fun. That'll be pisses off heart. All that's left to say is thank you very much, Bakary Sacco, newlywed and soon to be wed. It's been a pleasure. Look forward to Wolves on Saturday or Sunday morning, 25 minutes. And up the by Palace Addiction 4, up the Palace.
See you, boys.